Here we go. Let's do this right here. Now, we are on Sharecropper Radio. I think that's where we're at. All right. Everything seems to be working fine. And we are with James Sundquist. It's Saturday morning. I tell you what, the devil is, we're tramping all over the devil's territory
he
here.
He seems to be raging a little.
Yeah. Good morning again, James.
Good morning, Sharecropper Radio. It's Jocelyn. Thanks for having me on your show. Took a few years for us to finally connect, but we at least have been exchanging emails.
You found out how long it had been, huh?
Well, I've lost thousands, tens of thousands of emails from my computer crashing, so who knows how many times it is, but it goes back a few years, I think.
Wow. Well, I knew that I had been getting your emails for a very long time, and your name, when I looked at it, it seemed really familiar, especially since I became aware of your book. And so it was so interesting. I actually Googled you after that. You know, I said, you know, he's been emailing me a long time. Who is this guy? And I Googled you, James, and said, oh, my goodness, that's who he is. I had heard about your book and had wanted to read it. So I was so pleased to finally get a chance to do that.
It's funny that you should pay me that homage, because you don't want to have – it would be censored on – you have to have that – that button that you hit if you hear bad language from broadcasting. So I can't say some of the things that I've been called over the radio.
Oh, my.
But one I can say, one of my favorites, and this came from a Christian that accused me of being a rabbit dog foaming scriptures at the mouth. I'm a little taken back by that. And then a friend of mine, a lady out in the West, wrote back with an unbelievably wonderful response to that. And she says, it's better to be a rabid dog foaming scriptures at the mouth than a dumb dog that does not bark when there's a wolf in the sheepfold.
That's right. That is so correct. And it's such a compliment that you have been accused of being a rabid dog foaming scriptures at the mouth. That's good. I like that. We've been called a few things ourselves, and it's amazing that people who profess to be Christians do not like to use the scriptures to discuss their faith and beliefs, isn't it? Does that just blow you away?
It not only blows me away, but it grieves my heart because what they're basically saying is they're not grounded in Scripture enough to even conduct the dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And they're embarrassed that they'd be exposed for not knowing anything. And that's our only anchor to refute falsehood out there. So I'm extremely, shall I say, emboldened this morning, because I just got an email from my colleague and Jacob Prash in the United Kingdom, who goes all over the world and preaches, and he sent me the post of the 16-minute video out of the Netherlands on exposing Islam. And I want to bring that up because you say, what does that have to do with my book, this show? And Jocelyn, you said that the questions you get and the ones you would even have yourself as well. So, what's wrong with Rick Warren? So, you don't mind, I would just like to open the gates with a quote from Rick Warren regarding his global peace plan, which I discussed in Chapter 7.
Yeah, go ahead.
In my book, Rick Warren's Global Peace Plan versus Scripture, Rick Warren states, they don't have to be a Christian. In fact, they could be a Muslim. And here's more regarding his position on Islam. I would trust in any imam or priest or rabbi to know what is going on in the community before I would any government, etc. And he goes on, Warren predicts that fundamentalism of all varieties will be one of the biggest enemies of the 21st century. And he includes Christian fundamentalism. They're all motivated by fear of each other. So that he's not only borne false witness against fellow Christians, assuming he is even Christian, but he completely miscategorizes fear, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if you don't have the beginning, you don't even have the foundation. So from his own lips, he indicts himself. And if anybody still is wondering whether or not we should be forming unholy alliances with Islam, on no matter how peaceful they are or appear to be, their eschatology requires that they take over the world and the whole world becomes basically one big caliphate, where Islam rules the entire world. So I invite all of your listeners to, before they remove it from the internet, you can still catch it, and this will be a wake-up call, hopefully, for all Christians that hear other Christians saying that Islam is a religion of peace. And we shouldn't be surprised that if there's going to be a one-world government, that it would have to include Muslims. Both one-world government as well as a one-world church. But if you go to, after the W's on the internet, themoviefitna.com, you can see the 16-minute film, and it's just spine-tingling. I just watched it this morning. And then compare that to Rick Warren's statement and ask yourself the question, what's wrong with Rick Warren? Mm-hmm. And that should answer it for good. Yeah. So I had to say that.
Okay, so that is themovie.fitna.com.
No, themoviefitna, FITNA.com. There's no dots before you get to .com.
Okay, themoviefitna.com.
Yes.
Okay. I've got a question here.
Oh, themoviefitna.com. Gotcha. All right.
I got a question for you, James. Earlier this week, I caught a news headline, about where some Saudi or Arab leader was talking with the Pope or the Vatican or whatever, and they're working together to get... to get some kind of dialogue going about interfaith, connecting the faith together, the different religions. I don't know if you caught that news headline or not, but that just really seemed to touch me when you were talking there.
Well, that it's there's a major letter out that came from a bunch of Islamic scholars trying to unite with Christians about what we have in common, and I wrote, well, I'm not the only one, but a number of people wrote a rebuttal on that, and it is completely impossible for there to be unity. Light cannot have fellowship with darkness, and the Apostle Paul, in no case whatsoever, as Rick Warren has done, did the Apostle Paul or any of the prophets ever speak well of the demon-possessed, spiritist, necromancers, false teachers, false prophets, as Rick Warren has done in his books. And
Rick Warren's very open about wanting to form alliances with anyone who will, isn't he?
And the alliances don't end just with the church. Where he has taken over not just an individual church. As bad as the book, the Da Vinci Code was, churches could go through that book and expose it, examine it, and compare it to scriptures if they're good Bereans. The book comes and goes. But why Rick Warren's book is more dangerous, his purpose-driven life and his other materials, is that it isn't just a book that they conduct in the class. It will take over that church, and it will take over whole denominations, and more than that, and you can't do anything about it if you are targeted as a resistor to his, not just his global peace plan, because his purpose-driven life program is part of the global peace plan.
Okay.
But if you resist it in the church, you're marked. They have all these covenants you have to sign. And if you refuse to sign the covenants, then you eventually are expelled from the church. And these are required covenants, in spite of what both Jesus Christ and the Apostle James said about swearing these oaths and signing these covenants, that they speak in the most the strongest of languages, denouncing, and that you will that you can't hardly do anything more evil than what they describe as doing that. And yet, Rick Warren starts out with the covenant at the beginning of his purpose-driven life and asks you to sign the covenant before you even read the book.
He certainly does. I noticed that. Now, I'm going to backtrack us just a little bit on this, because you've already touched on some of the false statements and the promises that Rick Warren made in the purpose-driven life. And listeners, if you have just tuned in, we have James Sundquist with us. He is the author of Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church, and also Rick Warren's Global Peace Plan, so versus scriptural teachings on peace. And in the book, James Sundquist outlines, he exposes and documents some of the false statements and the false promises that Rick Warren makes in his book. So I'd like to field a couple of questions, which is going to cover what you were just talking about on that. One of the questions is, you know, Rick Warren promises, doesn't he promise his readers that if they read his book as he instructs them to, they will be transformed in 40 days?
Yes, now, the question would...
And they will find their purpose. Doesn't he say that? They will find their purpose and be transformed in 40 days.
Yes, and the why I took issue with that statement in itself is he promises a lot of things. He says his global peace plan, he guarantees it's going to succeed. So
would that make him the Messiah?
Well,
if it did, or the Antichrist, which one?
I get that question all the time. And
really?
No man on earth knows for certain who the Antichrist is. So I want to be very careful and cautious. But we can know the principles and the templates that would be in place in the doctrines of demons, seducing spirits, that he would be subscribing to in order to deceive even the elect if it were possible. And there's no doubt at all that the scripture says that this man will be a man of peace, and by peace he will destroy many. So it isn't by war he will destroy many, but by peace he will destroy many. Now later on he'll destroy many by war too, but in the initial stages. So you could make up a list of the criteria and the ingredients that would go into a man of peace, and he has a number of them that would fit the recipe. But it may not be him. He could die tomorrow, but it would still be his principles. And a lot of people are doing copycats, not only of his teachings, but copycats in terms of people that don't comply with the transformation of their church according to this global peace plan and the purpose-driven life, that if they don't follow that, they still will consider them resistors. And I've had a number of churches that have followed a lot of the principles without even using Rick Warren's book, ever naming his name, but they follow all of these church growth formulas. They require personality profilings based on Carl Jung's occultic teachings. It's one thing to take the occultic profile, personality profile, in Rick Warren's case it's called SHAPE, and the P in SHAPE stands for personality profiling. But it's quite another step to then stumble the least of my children with this magic arts and make have them take the test, but they take it a step further, and it's even more draconian. If you don't refuse to take the test and go along with these covenants, they will eventually expel you from the church, and in some cases, without even using Rick Warren's name, but following his principles of the church growth and the multiplication formulas and the transition your church, I've been working with what was it, Chinese Christian Alliance Church, and
I received your email on that. Was that a purpose-driven situation?
That is a recent development. A lawsuit was filed against the Christian Missionary Alliance Church in Colorado Springs, the headquarters, as well as the district, and some of the leading members of the Christian Missionary Alliance that have brought in this transformation church growth formulas, and I have a chart comparing church growth to Scripture.
Now, an entire congregation lost their church in this. Let's update our listeners on this. And an entire congregation lost their church. They just got voted right out of it, or the church got sold right out from underneath them.
Well, there are a couple of different examples. One down in Corpus Christi, Texas, a Gardendale Baptist Church. There's two different forms of government. Well, there's more than two, but the two main ones are congregational rule, which the Baptists are, and then there's elder rule. Well, the Baptist church takes an extra step in order to succeed in the hijacking of the church. So what happened down in Gardendale Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas, is that they held a business meeting for the congregation. They had a vote of confidence for the pastor who was wanting to conduct and lead the purpose-driven programs and implement this transformation of their church. And they had a number of people that were resisting this, and a lot of them were actually open to it. They just wanted to examine the teachings and test them against Scripture to see if they'd be true, as Paul said to do it, to be good Bereans. So they had a vote of confidence, and they took down all the names of everybody that didn't vote for the pastor, and then they held a second vote and took that blacklist, and they voted then with a majority vote to expel all of those that opposed the vote of confidence. They said that this was God's man for the hour, that we can't touch God's anointed, that God has raised up the shepherd, the pastor, and we need to follow him, and if you don't follow him, then you're in rebellion against God. So they exercised the church discipline in a rather obviously perverted way, and then they expelled them and voted them out of the congregation. And that became a
165 members
story.
Were kicked out of the congregation.
That's a different story than happened to my friends out in Colorado. That was in this. The first example was the congregational rule, which was the Baptist. So it's happening in the Baptist, Southern Baptists all over the country. But it's happening in the Christian Missionary Alliance. And
that was my question. That Chinese church with the Christian Missionary Alliance, did they lose their church because they were refusing to go purpose driven within that congregation?
Well, they didn't use the term purpose-driven, but they were using the rest of the Christian Missionary Alliance uses the purpose-driven mm-hmm. materials, and they're approved as curriculum, and in many cases you're required to take it if you want to be credentialed and pastor. So a number of churches are using the book, conducting the programs, but in this case they were just using a lot of the principles outlined in Rick Warren's teachings. And they were not complying with that. Now, that's only part of it. It became apparent that it was more than just not complying with this church growth strategy and church growth multiplication formulas and things, but it was that actually it was an issue of greed.
Okay.
Which Peter addresses in one of the his epistles. But in any case, that's elder ruled, and so that they... The Christian Missionary Alliance district that they're in came in and seized their $650,000 property and sold it, pocketed the money, and they seized their bank account, emptied $18,000 out of that, even stole their Chinese translated Bibles and wouldn't even return them.
That is amazing.
And all in the name of Jesus.
Appalling.
And we've turned upside down Jesus' command about leaving the flock for one sheep caught in the thicket to go rescue it. They've turned that upside down, and they take the sheep and throw them into the thicket.
That sounds like you've nailed it right there. For listeners who have just tuned in, you are listening to Sharecropper Christian Radio. If you are listening to this at a later date, or perhaps on a CD that a friend has given you, you can tune in every Saturday morning for our live program programming at 9 a.m. at sharecropperradio.com. But Sharecropper's on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at sharecropperradio.com. And Butch, what is the number that listeners can call in? And you can call this number 24/7. Leave us your questions, your comments. We'll try to address them on the programs.
Yeah, the number is 86.
We'll forward any messages to James Sundquist also that we get for him.
All right. The number is 863-614-0439. That's 863-614-0439. And you can also email us at sharecropperradio@yahoo.com as well.
Yes. And James, your book, Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church? Where can our listeners get a copy of your book if they want to?
Okay. My publisher is Southwest Radio, and you can call them at 1-800-652-1144. And they're also on the website. They have a website, swrc.com, and you can go in there and order it that way. And they have both of my books. They've published both my first book, Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church, as well as the my subsequent book, Rick Warren's Global Peace Plan versus Scriptural Teachings on Peace. But I've made available one of the chapters in my first book on the personality profiling of that Rick Warren uses based on the teaching, occultic teachings of Carl Jung, who got his vision from a spirit guide he called Philemon. And I document that. And there's a lot of good material written, and now there's several books out opposing and exposing the false teachings of Rick Warren. But I probably am unique in the sense that I have done the most to isolate and do the research on Rick Warren's personality profiling and the roots of it, where it came from. And so I made that chapter available on our website, which has other materials and what's going on in terms of the hijacking of the churches all over the world. And my website is a little complicated with all the hyphens, so I'm going to tell you the easiest way to get to it is to just type in my name on your Google
search. That's how I found it.
James Sundquist, S-U-N-D-Q-U-I-S-T. And it either come to the top, if not, just put a comma, false teachers, and it'll be the very top website that'll pop up. It's Abrahamic Faith is the name of the site. And you can scroll down there, and you'll see the personality profiling chapter. And it's available online with color charts that compare Rick Warren's personality profiling to Carl Jung's. And from what you tell me, Jocelyn, that's particularly struck your interest because you have been studying psychology in college and recognized a lot of things that stuck out at you. Is that true?
Well, you know, I was just a first-year psychology student, so, you know, we didn't go into a lot of details, but we definitely didn't go into the stuff, you know, that comes out on deeper research about where Carl Jung is coming from. I mean, anyone at all that's been exposed to psychology has heard his name.
Yes.
And but what most people do not know is how heavily this man was into the occult, and that he actually formed many of the theories that, you know, psychology is based on from these spirit guides and from divination and occult methods. And this would be of particular interest to Christians who believe the Bible, and the Bible tells us we're not to have anything to do with such things. They're very dangerous. And so you give us a lot of details in your book, which I thought was...
Burn the magic scrolls, but what is the church doing now? They're promoting it. Worse than that, they punish you if you don't take the tests. Eventually.
Now, I had a question, you know, about this test, because this went right back to some of the false statements and promises of Rick Warren. You know, did he make a false promise when he said if you read his book, you would find your purpose? And then did he kind of slip a Mickey in there when, you know, further down the road, you read in the book that, well, you really have to take his shape personality profile to find your purpose?
Well, what's besides the arrogance of the
statement. Which is it? If you read his book, you'll find your purpose, or if you take his shape personality profile, you'll find your purpose?
Well, that's a good point, Jocelyn, is that if you found your purpose by reading the book, why would you need to take the test after that?
Why would we even need the Bible if we can find our purpose by reading his book?
And you know, all those poor saints for 2,000 years that have been persecuted and martyred, or any Christian for that matter, God help them that they didn't get a chance to read Rick Warren's book or take a personality profile to find out what their purpose was. It's just staggering. There is not a single scripture. You wanted me to make sure to hit some of the bullets on why he's a false teacher?
Definitely, because if a listener is just now tuning in and they've read Purpose Driven Life and they say, well, that was a good book. I've spoken with people that say, you know, I read that book 3 times. It was so good. I told you, I shared with you previously when we talked, I could not read through the book. I had trouble reading through the book at all because, you know, I would stumble over things that he said, like whenever someone asked him, Jesus, about Bible prophecy, he always changed the subject. I knew that wasn't true. I've written a book about Bible prophecy. I know, you know, Jesus talked a lot about Bible prophecy, and he certainly never discouraged discussion of it and never changed the subject to something else. So I would come across things like that, and I would think, well, the Bible doesn't say this. And so then I decided, you know what, I'm going to look up every scripture reference he gives. But he doesn't give the references, you know, as he goes. They're all in the end notes. And so I found it so tedious looking up every one, and then I would look at it and realize, well, my goodness, you know, my Bible doesn't say that. And I would compare it, you know, with my Bible, which I read the King James Bible, and it would not even be in the ballpark saying the same thing.
And you can go in and check the Greek or the Hebrew on the blueletterbible.org, and you can check the scriptures against those to double check for verification that the statements and the translations that Rick Ward's making are false.
I found many false statements just in the translations. It was like, this doesn't even resemble what the Bible says. Yeah.
I go into that in the third chapter of my first book. I compare it, which is described as inaccurate versus accurate translations.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, it won't be that translation. It'll just be Rick Warren's own statements.
Yes.
Or it'll be the false teachers he actually promotes and endorses.
I've got some questions about those, too.
Now, before we go there, I was just going to tie the shoelace on the personality thing.
Go ahead.
The personality profiling, besides it being a cult and man-made based, there's not a single scripture that where God ever used personality in order to determine someone's calling or purpose he had for them. But he does a lot throughout scripture of using someone's character to determine their calling. So that was the thing that stuck out, one of the things that stuck out to me about
Moses argued because he wasn't one that wanted to go speaking to anyone publicly. He had to go to Pharaoh. He argued, I'm not a good speaker. I have a problem. He just was panicking over this. And the Lord said, who made your mouth?
Right.
You know, so the Lord gifts us and sends us and surprises us all together, doesn't he, with some of the things he has us do. And so, yeah, I'm agreeing with you there. The scripture does not even give us a clue that the Lord gives us a certain personality and then gives us gifts and callings based on that.
Absolutely. And no matter how long, we could go on for 8 hours, and there's still
going
to be a lot of people that are listening to your show that are going to say, but I still don't get it. I still don't see why you have so vengeful and unforgiving and toward Rick Warren. What is your problem? You need to get a life.
Your problem is with his teaching and his doctrine. It's not with him personally.
On a personal level, he's this lovable, big, huggable teddy bear that you want to hug. That on a personal level, he's not like a Charles Manson in that respect. you just can't imagine that he'd want to cause anybody any harm. So it really, and I have not met him. Everything that I address in the book is strictly based on comparing what is he teaching versus what Scripture's teaching. And as you know, Paul told, it said in Galatians that he said to hold even his feet to the fire, that if he or an angel from heaven preach another gospel, let him he be eternally damned. So, and he commended the Bereans that they're more noble than the Thessalonians, because they examined the Scriptures to see if these things be true. So every Christian needs to be that. We don't have to be a pastor to do that. Somebody said, oh, you're a great biblical scholar, and on and on. I said, well, I my tombstone says that that I just endeavored to be a good Berean. But that would be what I'd hope every Christian would want to be and is supposed to be.
And tell our listeners, if they're not sure what a good Berean is, tell our listeners who the good Bereans are.
The good Bereans are Christians that study the Scriptures to see if these things be true.
And these were the things that the Apostle Paul was telling them, is that so?
Yes, that was the...
They were checking out the Apostle.
Right.
And letting him know they did.
Now, do you hear Rick Warren saying that?
No. What I hear Rick Warren saying is discouraging any type of questioning at all. In fact, he makes the comment that conflict is always a sign that focus has shifted to less important things. Many of the things I hear Rick Warren saying and I read in his books and his writings are subtle barbs at any Christians that would ask questions and hold his teachings up to Scripture. He tries to intimidate them not to, in a nice way. It's like his words are smoother than butter, but war is in his heart.
Well stated. And it's to a great extent, the teaching is like the frog being in the warm water. They bring it into the church, and it feels good. It feels warm and cozy, and the frog just sits there and doesn't do anything, and it's gradually heated up until the frog cooks to death. It never jumps out of the pan.
Exactly, and a lot of folks, you know, or just swimming around in that water while it heats up and not realizing that the crisis is building. You know, these are some of the things that I'm sure you know that, well, you know, because you put these in your book. Is Rick Warren suggesting to people, and I'm going to ask you a question, dialectics, that's the word, you know, he's very good at dialectics, isn't he? If I'm getting the definition of dialectics correct. I looked up dialectics once. The communists use it. Totalitarian governments love to use it. And, you know, boiling it down to my just, you know, unexperienced, unscholarly attitude, to me, it's pitting the group against the one, intimidating the one into standing up and questioning anything that the leader or the group is agreeing with.
Well, they purportedly allow for opposition, where they have the thesis pitted against the antithesis, and then you come up with a collective consensus.
That's dialectics, correct? The collective consensus.
A new dialectic, where that becomes the thesis, and that's pitted against another antithesis. So that process goes on. So over the period of history, you have what they call social evolution. Now, incidentally, a lot of the psychology teachings that are promoted by Rick Warren is based on evolution in a literal sense. But so you have both literal evolution being promoted, and of course Carl Jung believed in literal evolution, that he believed that's how he formed his whole philosophy, and I confirmed that by contacting the Carl Jung Institute in Zurich, Switzerland, the headquarters. So you have that social evolution going on, and so that process is going on that we are no longer, that's why he's so against fundamentalist Christians, because We said no. What was given to the church once and for all, a faith delivered once and for all in the book of Jude, is sufficient. And the Reformation, the battles throughout that, and people being martyred and burned at the stake, was over the fact that they believed no, Scripture alone is sufficient for all teaching, authority, correction, training in righteousness, that the Christian would be able to be complete, as well as for every good work that they need to do. So the sufficiency is already there. But
and the Bible says that we are given all things in Scripture that pertain to life and to godliness.
Exactly. And you think we've learned the lesson from the Reformation, and now it's like we've completely
done a 360. Done a 360. Hasn't the Christian church, the reformers, the ones who died, allowed themselves to be burned at the stake to stand up for the Scriptures and to stand up for certain things? Is now the Christian church is just kind of doing a circle and wanting to merge right back, with the Roman Catholic Church, and that's where the ecumenical movement comes in, doesn't it?
Yes, in fact, Rick Warren has a purpose-driven life of materials that he's written for Roman Catholicism. And he also endorses Alpha Course, which preceded. It's another church growth movement thing, and it gave birth to the Toronto Blessing, and actually should be called the Toronto Curse. But in any case, that is rampant within Roman Catholicism. That came out of England. A colleague of mine, Dusty Peterson, wrote a book, the equivalent of what I did on the purpose-driven church. He wrote on the Alpha Course, but Rick Warren has endorsed that. And that also is an ecumenical movement with Roman Catholicism. And Rick Warren has gone into synagogues and did not preach Christ crucified. And I address that on my website if you want to go there.
Is it true that the purpose-driven church, according to Rick Warren, they discourage the preaching of the blood atonement of Jesus Christ, that purpose-driven churches avoid that?
Well, all the accounts I'm getting back from people that have said to put away their Bible, and we're going to do Rick Warren's purpose-driven life in small groups. And so, in some ways, they would deny that, but on a factual basis, and based on the testimonies that are coming back, that replacement of that, if it doesn't de facto or de jure replace the Bible, it de facto replaces it, so that therefore, in effect, it would remove the actual atonement, the blood-bought, the terms we used, the wrath of God, the blood of Jesus, these terms.
The things the Bible says.
Yeah, the things the Bible says, the most important doctrines, are either replaced or diluted, and so you're left with wood, hay, and stubble.
Rick Warren does tell his readers in The Purpose-Driven Life not to place so much emphasis on Bible, doesn't he? Or is it on preaching? He said, tell stories, tell your testimony, don't put so much emphasis on preaching and Bible reading.
Right. A story would be good to hear if someone's giving a testimony.
Sure, I tell stories all the time, talks, but not at the expense of solid scripture.
And it's not only not at the expense, but at the expense of truth, or at the expense of expository preaching of the scripture. And some of his statements are so outlandish, and it is just shocking, and yet most of the church is going right along with it. It's no wonder that Jesus said that when I return, will I find thee faith on the earth.
Well, going back to, his words are smoother than butter, but war is in his heart. What I get, and you can tell me if I'm a little extreme on this, what I get is that he is really declared outright war on the truth of the gospel and God, because in his book, he flat out tells his readers, and people read right over this, and it doesn't strike them at all as wrong. He tells his readers not to fear God. I mean, he absolutely says that, that we're not to fear God.
Well,
in his book.
That goes back to the beginning of our show.
But the Bible says, fear God.
I wrote on page 20 of my Global Peace Plan. By the way, that book is completely online on our website.
Okay, wonderful. It's downloadable free then?
Pardon?
The Global Peace Plan, you make that available to be read online free?
Electronically, the entire book is available online, so you don't have to buy the hardback copy.
Excellent. So they can buy it by the e-book.
I'm doing this for the money. I waive all my royalties on this. But I still get accused of doing this for fame and money. And I used to be able to get into a whole lot of churches to minister in concert before I became an author. But I wouldn't be allowed to be in there now. And so I've actually forfeited places that I could actually minister in concert. And if I wanted the income, if that's what I wanted, if I wanted the fame, I had fame without any of the hardships and the persecution. So what am I, crazy?
Well, I got a question for you there, James. You said minister in concert. You want to expound on that a little bit?
Yes. I toured the country, 40-some states, back going to the mid-70s. I go into all kind of churches, various denominations. I've written a number of songs based on Scripture, and I sing and play the guitar. I have two instrumental albums. Grammy-nominated Sacred Carols for Classical Guitar that's played all over the world. That's what I did for, 30 years or something.
Do you own the rights to your music? I know where Butch is going with this.
I've copywritten my own songs and arrangements. Most of these churches where I have played, I could not... I would not be allowed to play there. So I have...
You have forfeited that privilege in order to get the truth out.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm not seeking fame. If anything, I'm seeking infamy.
Well, the whole point I was getting at when you talked about touring, you know, I was going to say, you know, if you have music available, you know, and you own the rights to it, you know, send it to Sharecropper Radio.
We would love to play it if you own the rights to it.
Yeah.
Come Christmas, you play Sacred Carols for Classical Guitar? Are you interested?
Well, we play Jesus Is Born music all year round. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you wouldn't even think that would be controversial, but Christmas carols. But as you know, from all the court battles going on and being removed from public schools, that's a whole other story. But I know that time escapes us. I wanted to go back to what we started the program on, the fear.
Yes.
Rick Warren.
Not to fear God.
A couple of his statements, and I'm going to compare them directly to Scripture. People want to know, so what's wrong with them? We're going to cut right to the jugular here. Rick Warren states, in his Global Peace Plan, we give ourselves to him not out of fear or duty, but in love. He says, later, we obey God not out of duty or fear. We don't serve God out of guilt or fear. So my response to that is in the spirit of a mission so prevalent in Warren's publication, this mangled translation takes away the most important qualifier, the important phrase, for those who fear him. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him. Scripture says about fearing the Lord, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. There is no fear of God before their eyes. David said that in one of the Psalms, as well as Paul restated it in Romans. According to Strong's lexicon, that he states that, which means the meaning of the word fear, dread, or terror, reverence. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for God is a consuming fire. And I go on and on, and then what Rick Warren mocks those who hold the sound doctrine, but Paul told Timothy that that's how we, that we win in make spiritual warfares with sound doctrine.
Yes, he really, you know, just boiling it down to plain English, he tells his readers not to contend for the faith. And he does this in a variety of very clever ways, talking about unity, you know, minimizing, you know, saying that all conflict is a sign, that the focus has shifted to less important things. Is that true, that all conflict within a church body is a sign that the focus has shifted to less important things?
No, what amazes me is that that all of the editors at Zondervan, his publisher, owned by Rupert Murdoch, who is a porn king.
Yes, I knew that.
Who claims, and Rick Warren claims...
he claims Rick Warren is his pastor, doesn't he?
Yeah, and so much for church discipline against Rupert Murdoch. What are you going to say? He's the
he's his publisher.
Yeah.
Cash cow for Fox News as well. And when Fox does Rick Warren, they interview him glowingly and basically just run infomercials for him.
Hmm.
That's a little sidetrack here.
That's all right. You know, what did Jesus say? You know, didn't he say something to the effect of beware when all men speak well of you?
Yes, and get this, Rick Warren had even quoted that for himself. As though he's the one that, when he calls people like us detractors. No, we're not distractors, we're exposing him as a false teacher.
Is Rick Warren actually claiming to be the Messiah in any way?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
No, okay. No, he's just claiming that he can bring in world peace. But if we know the Bible, and all of our listeners
right.
that know the Bible, they know that only Jesus Christ is going to bring in true peace. And then there's another one, there's the Antichrist, that's going to bring in a false peace.
Right.
But we have those two choices. So anyone who thinks that they're going to bring in world peace, they're saying, in essence, they're telling everyone, they're... one or the other,
right.
unless they just don't know the Bible and they're ignorant of what the Bible Joshua teaches.
Speaking of bringing in world peace, Rick Warren launched his global peace plan in April 17, 2007 by singing to a packed stadium out in California the Purple Haze by Jimi Hendrix. Now, when I read the scripture... Are we still there?
Yeah, we're still there. We're just silent.
I was just thinking, you know, Rick Warren singing Purple Haze, that just, an image popped into my head there.
All right.
I'm sure it did. For any of us who grew up in the 60s, we saw a lot of things after smoking funny cigarettes. But in any case, if you read, my reading of the scripture said that they sang the Song of the Lamb when the Global Peace Plan was launched at the millennium by Jesus Christ.
How about that? Isn't that a difference? Isn't that a difference? Judge not. Judge not, James. I know you hear that a lot, don't you? That seems to be the clarion call these days of the ecumenical movement, and most Christians, that's the scripture they, and I say most Christians, I say it fairly seriously, that seems to be the scripture that they have memorized the best. Judge not.
And ironically, they attack us for, first of all, it's completely wrong. That scripture taken out of context, it's you're not to judge impartially or hypocritically, but Paul goes on and on through chapter after chapter and book after book about how we are to judge, the judge teaching.
And teaching us how to judge.
Exactly.
The Bible teaches us how to. Even Jesus said, "You first, you know, take the log out of your own eye, so that you can see clearly to judge." So we're not forbidden to judge.
It is not forbidden. Ironically, they'll use that scripture, then they'll turn right around and judge their brothers and sisters who have, in fact, questioned Rick Warren's teachings, and not just attack them
very viciously.
Yeah, in fact, I've got trainloads of thousands of, I think, emails from pastors that personally attack me.
Mm-hmm.
They don't just say, come let us reason together from Scripture. They really unload on me, and very rarely do they actually reason from Scripture, as Paul said we needed to do, to see if these things be true. And so they'll turn right around and they'll judge anybody that's questioning them to the point of expelling them from the church. So they're complete hypocrites.
And these aren't people that are living immoral lives that are being expelled from the church. The Bible tells us, you know, sets up, you know, how to exercise church discipline and make judgment calls in these things. But these people that's being expelled from purpose-driven churches, it's not because they are sinning, openly sinning, living immoral lives, and that they won't submit to church discipline, is it? It's
no,
because they're simply questioning what's going on?
The main argument that's used to get rid of them is that they're causing division in the body. Another Christian Missionary Alliance church, they didn't actually seize the church and take the property, but what they did, they still effectively hijacked it up in Elmira, New York. Maranatha Bible Chapel up there, which I know close hand because I followed the case closely because my wife's folks, it was their church, they have now left. Mm. They woke up the smell of coffee finally, and they did it based on their own judgment, discernment, even though they had listened to me, but they, at some point they saw what I was saying was true, but they lost three of their top Bible scholars that were teaching at the church over the thing, and then they had a second meltdown and just this last year, some months ago, they're causing another split and sending refugees fleeing from there. And then just as of a few days ago, I can't divulge who it is yet, but the CMA has seized another church that is worth it. It's going to be even a greater plunder for them, a $1 million church property with about $100,000 in the bank. And so they have not repented. They've been confronted, and I've been just vilified. When I sent out to, with some help, some other colleagues, we sent out about 3,000 letters, press releases to the Christian Missionary Alliance pastors and workers throughout the United States and Canada, and I got back just a litany of retaliatory letters from them, and not us. I think 5 or 6 out of the 3,000 showed any compassion whatsoever for these Chinese Christians that were being plundered. And so the thing goes. And I can't. Once you become a Christian, we gave up. We forfeited the right to remain silent in the face of this. I don't know how our time is doing, but
yeah. James, if I will, I want to continue with this. This has been a very special sharecropper edition, if you will, of the Sunday Stew. So if you can hang with us for a moment, James, and let me take care of a few technical things. And
can you stay a little longer than we planned, James?
Yes, we make up for the years, the minutes that the Lord...
We really got cheated, didn't we?
We got cheated, but there's a lot of stuff, and I've still got a few questions of my own I want to get into.
If you can just hang in there.
Hang with us. So all of our listeners that are listening, you're listening to a very special Sunday Stew this morning, and you are listening to James Sundquist, who is the author of The Purpose... Who is Driving the Purpose-Driven Church, and we've got a lot more to get into with James, so...
Hang with us.
We're going to get back into some of our scheduled programming. Give me a chance to do some technical things, and we're going to get back with James in just a moment. So thanks a lot for listening to Sharecropper Radio this morning. We'll be right back in just a couple minutes.